I realized it. We seem to also have Wendell Coppin. Is that true?
Is that Wendell Coppin? Oh, Wendell Coppin is there. All right. All right. We're going to try and talk to him a little bit later on as well. That's the manager of the Barbados team.
Well, I'll go to Trevon because I've asked you a few questions already. Just to get a rough idea of the incidence of COVID-19 in our region. Do you know of other friends or other relatives who know someone who's contracted COVID-19 over the last few weeks?
Well, apart from a close female friend that I have, I haven't have a family friend or a close relative that contracted COVID-19. So, well, other than just listening to the news and watching stories and different things. So, apart from that, no.
For both you and Jason, we know of some players who have been unable to make some tours or tournaments because of COVID-19. Jason, what's the possibility of the Hope brothers recovering and joining the team later on? I don't know about the rules, but I was just wondering if that was a question that had come up sometime since the incident with the COVID-19.
Well, from the initial positive test, that was the first question that we asked. Obviously, you don't know how long they'll take to recover. And for us, we would love to have them. And if there's a possibility of having them, we'll definitely try to explore it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they haven't been released yet out of isolation. And we could only wait till then to then see if we can get flights and stuff arranged with the situation now. In the Caribbean and in the world, there are only two flights coming to Antigua on the weekends from Barbados. So, I mean, it's all about availability of flights. Then when they get here, they've got to quarantine again. So that's another 5 days. And you got to account for all those days and the time. So when, once they're released, then we can try to see how quickly we can get them up and if it'll be possible and feasible. But for someone particularly, Shea, we'll all sit down and agree that Shea will be part of that ODI squad against Sri Lanka. So I assume he'll just have to definitely come to Antigua anyways. So he would probably have a big likelihood of coming over to join if possible. But if you can have both him and Kyle, then I guess we'll explore the option.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked a lot about bubbles here and there. You've seen the CPL bubble. You're now in the 50 over bubble. You've been to international bubbles in England and New Zealand. Financial future of Cricket West Indies hinges a lot on the international calendar being played out later on. How do you think we're doing as far as our bubbles in the region are concerned? Do you think that the input of players and the fatigue and the issues mentally and otherwise are being taken into consideration in order to formulate that perfect bubble for when the visitors come?
Look, I think West Indies have had, when we went to England, then they went directly into CPL. After that, we had a bit of a break. Guys who weren't involved in IPL. And then we rejoined to go to New Zealand. So, I mean, we've had kind of scattered sessions with bubbles. So, I mean, it has been a little easier. But for the likes of persons like myself, who's been on the road playing other leagues and stuff, it then becomes a hassle. It then becomes very, very difficult. That's when the conversation needs to be had in trying to manage players and their mental health. And maybe for us as well, we may have to look at missing one or two tournaments just to keep your sanity, keep yourself fresh, keep your body fresh as well too. But I mean, I am pretty confident that we can roll out safe biosecure bubbles for the international schedule. And so far in the region, the bubbles that I've been in have been pretty safe to me. The CPL bubble has been very safe, and this one here in Antigua so far, it hasn't been too bad. We're still working through one or two kinks in terms of different logistical issues, but I'm more than confident that we can get it all sorted out. But in terms of international scheduling, I think everything should go ahead as planned once we continue to do what we're doing.
Hello, you were good.
I want to pose a question to Trevor, and obviously,
yeah, sure.
But I want to speak to him about the vaccine. Mm-hmm. If there's any talk in Guyana about the cricketers who are contracted, because I am a big believer that the franchises that explore the medical teams, mm-hmm. particularly Cricket West Indies and collaboration with the local franchises, mm-hmm. should explore the possibility of getting the vaccine for those players who are contracted. And those players who are contracted either have to consent to having the vaccine. How do you feel if the Ghana Cricket Board say, look, you're mm-hmm. a contracted player and we're going to offer you this vaccine, but give you the full story mm-hmm. behind the vaccine. How would you feel would you take it to try to eliminate some of these problems?
I mean, first, let me speak on, having the vaccine taken to players. I mean, I think it's something good and something, as you know, we should look into as mm-hmm. players. Obviously, this COVID situation is very serious. You know, a lot of life has been lost, you know, a lot of things going on in the world concerning COVID, and the vaccine being implemented for people around the world. I mean, if the West Indies board look into it or the local board look into it and say, oh, players, we need to take it, I don't see why mm-hmm. Contracted players should refuse it. I mean, if it's something that we're looking forward to help players and, you know, just eliminate them with COVID, mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that we should do or should think about as a player. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I would do it. I would take it. I don't have a problem. I mean, if you look in America, the vaccine already being implemented and people been taking it. You know, the president and, you know, other important people have been mm. taking this vaccine. And, mm. you know, so far, nothing has been sent to Guyana as yet concerning the vaccine. But probably looking forward to it. And once it's here, then just see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I have awaited my vaccine here in England. In the next another 2 or 3 weeks, I should be able to,
oh, you,
to get my vaccine.
Philo, you're going to get a vaccine, Philo?
Yeah, I'm on the NHS list, Andrew.
Are you sure of that, Philo? Are you sure, Philo?
I have to take it.
Have you spoken to Boris Johnson?
Maybe the house is going to get hers this week, so I have to get mine as well, Andrew.
Indeed. Well, Trevor, we're not going to keep you too much longer there, Trevor, because I know that you are in quarantine. How much longer are you going to be in quarantine, though, Trevor?
Next week, Monday, I take another test on Monday morning.
This seems to be more than 14 days.
That's 14 days.
Exactly 14 days. All right. And, yeah. and you simply can't wait to get out of this quarantine, huh? It must be rough.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of frustrating, but it's just part of life, and you just got to be mentally strong.
Right.
You know, and just accept the situation and just look forward, you understand?
Just before you go, stay with us, Jason. We're going to open the lines. We got good old Wendell Coppin, who seems to be the manager for life. In the Barbados team. I thought by now they would have fired him, but he's still there. But he's with us, of course, Jason. Who would have supported your elevation to the job a couple of years ago? But just before you go, Trevon, so you're at home, is it? You're at home in quarantine?
Yeah, I'm at home now, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And your family is there as well?
Yeah, well, my mom is here, but okay. She's like, you know, separated from me.
Oh, okay, so you don't even say hello to your mom? You telephone her, don't you? From your bedroom.
Hello is good.
Okay.
I show and be like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, eh? All right. So it's just you and your mom?
Yeah.
All right. Is she okay? I mean, is she good? I mean,
well, so far, so good. And when I'm going to retest, then she'll be going as well.
Oh, she'll be going to get tested as well, yes. Mm-hmm.
But so far, she's fine. She's no symptoms and everything's okay. Healthy and all these things.
Well, I wish you very well. When you come out to quarantine, just go to Border Market, get those pineapples. You got the biggest watermelons I've ever seen.
You know Border Market?
I know Border Market very well. I got my pineapples there for $200 for one. And it's big as my head. And my head is very big. All right. I want to thank you very much indeed, Trevon. You've got a smile as broad as Georgetown. And we wish you well. I know it must be a very difficult period for you, and we wish you well. Have a good evening, Trevon.
Thanks for having me, and have a good evening. Good night, everyone.
All right, good. Of course, there's going to be some reaction from Sean Devers and those people who listen to the show, and so we get a big story tomorrow coming out of this program in relation to Trevon. All right, Jason, stay with us, 424-1790. We're going to open the lines because we want people, of course, to interact with you. It's not often that we get the West Indies captain. In fact, they say that the West Indies captain is more important than the Prime Minister in the Caribbean. And, of course, Jason, you may not know this, but this program won an award. Dr. Ford refused to tell you, although he's very much a part of it. There was an award only recently where it was yourself Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, Dr. Keith Mitchell, and of course, Mayor Amomotli, the Prime Minister of Barbados, who can do no wrong. And as a result of that program, Mason and Guest actually won the award. So I want to thank you for being very much a part of that exercise. All right. Now, let's go to Wendell Coppin. I see him there on Zoom, Wendell. And of course, we also got Franklin Rose there in Jamaica. Franklin, are you lying there? You seem to be in bed, Franklin. How are you, Frankie?
Yes, I'm watching football. My favorite team, Man United, Andrew.
So. Oh, yes. And they won how many? I know when I left home, it was 4-0 against Southampton.
Only nine.
Nine-nil. Oh, my golly. And I know Jason Nolan supports West Brom. Jason, are you a football man?
No, I support Tottenham, Andrew.
Oh, Tottenham. What's going wrong? You need to fire Mourinho.
A good team, Jason.
No, Andrew. Let's not go there, Andrew.
Oh, God.
So what's happening to Tottenham, though, Jason? I mean, you're up and down.
I'll call Mourinho tomorrow and I'll let you know, man.
All right. I'm sure he's going to say
hello. That's a one-man team.
I'm sure he's going to say hello, Skipper. Talking about the Skipper, the manager of the Barbados team, I at one stage last year, I heard that he might have lost his job. But, of course, Jason, when he went to Guyana and brought the bacon home with that wonderful victory, Wendell Coppin was able to retain his job. Hello, Wendell. Nice to see you. How is Antigua, the land of the Browns? It used to be the land of the birds, remember? Then it was the land of the Spencers, now it's the land of the Browns, and soon to be the Coppins. How are you, Wendell? Nice to see you.
I'm very well, Andrew. Good evening to you. And I see that you're advocating that Wendell Coppin is no longer the manager of the Barbados team.
No, I'm not advocating that at all. You want me to advocate to the nation?
Oh, I thought that is what you were doing.
Not at all.
I know you have lots of friends in high places.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And one may have whispered in your ear.
that is why I'm able to say that Ricky Skerritt is going to be getting a challenge from a Barbadian. Have you heard anything about that, Wendell?
No, I haven't.
Stay clear of it. All right. Now, Wendell, Frankie, we're going to come back to you. Good victory by Man United. You arrived on Sunday. How's it been in terms of you being a manager of the Barbados team? Are you satisfied with the hotel and the general conditions? Wendell, talk to me.
We're not in a hotel. We're at a student apartment, an apartment building which was constructed. Medical students would normally stay here. The accommodation is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably not the best person to ask about accommodation because when I head out on any duties, the accommodation is the last thing that I'm thinking about. Predominantly, I go to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is to have clean surroundings. Right. There's somewhere to sleep. It doesn't matter where it is, as long as there's somewhere to sleep. I have access to to clean running water, electricity,
right?
And I'm fine. So I'm not the best person to ask in terms of. But what I must say is that everybody seems to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything
comfortable in an apartment.
Yeah, this everybody's comfortable.
What do you mean by comfortable? What do you mean by comfortable? When I hear comfortable, I hear on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe 5 out of 10. Come on, talk to me, Wendell.
It's comfortable, very comfortable.
Okay,
very comfortable.
So you give it 5 out of 10 then?
Sandy Lane is comfortable. Sandy Lane is comfortable. The Ricks is comfortable.
Okay.
The Garrison's also comfortable. It's comfortable accommodation.
It can pass. Wonderful. All right. No. So everything is all right. The team arrived on Sunday and everybody's in good spirits then, huh?
Yeah, and I'm happy to say that the results from our first PCR test when we came in on Sunday has just came back, and everyone tested negative.
Beautiful.
So that's very good news. Mm-hmm. We had our second test, which was done earlier this morning, and that test will be sent off to the lab, and hopefully once we get that results back, then practice will we'll start practicing. So at the moment, after this first test, it means that we are out of our rooms because we were in rooms for the majority of our until that first test came back.
Mm-hmm.
It means now that we can congregate, not congregate, we can mingle outside. in small groups, ultimately keeping the protocol, social distancing, wonderful, sanitizing, cleaning of hands, regular wearing of masks, those types of things. So for the next, until the second test come back, the practice activities will be limited to just work here at the facility. It's a big enough place, so you can quite easily run around the or walk around the apartment building. There's an adjacent field, there's a field within the compound, so you should be able to do, you should be able to run around that field. More than likely, our strength and condition trainer, Alexander Ford, will be looking at taking groups out tomorrow, in small groups, obviously.
Right.
And pretty much get some activities happening, some physical activities happening, before we start the bat and ball on Friday, or as soon as that second test comes back.
All right. 434-1790. You can give us a call. Of course, if you're calling from overseas, 1246 in front, and certainly get involved. We also want to hear from Cricket West Indies in terms of their management of this. And we're going to no doubt talk to Dominic Warren pretty soon. Let me come back to you now, as we, of course, want to talk not only Super 50, but we also want to talk about Bangladesh. Franklin, nice to see you again with that big win there for Man United. The boys are in Bangladesh. They are preparing to play battle. Jamaica time, it's 10:30. Eastern Caribbean time, 11:30. What are your expectations, Mr. Rose? Do you expect the West Indies to win this? The whole hog, as they say? Talk to me.
Of course. Well, it's going to be tough for the boys. You know, it's some of the guys touring Bangladesh for the first time is a fairly new team. You know, so I'm a little bit concerned because some of the guys who are replacing some of the guys, some of the senior players who are going to be playing in those home series. So, for example, so Ambrose is playing in a test match and he's injured.
Right.
And I replace Ambrose. I'm going to go in that game with a mindset. It doesn't matter if I get wicket or not. I know I'm not going to play in the upcoming series. And I think this is going to affect some of the new players going into the team. I'm hoping it's not affecting it won't affect their performance, but I think some of them are going to go in the game, going to go into this test match with that mindset. It doesn't matter if I perform or not.
Okay.
Because when those guys come back, these guys are going to get back their game. So it's a sad situation for some of these guys going to be playing in this test match. I'm not sure what team they're going to pick for the first test, but hopefully they're strong enough to go in the game with this mindset. You know, don't think about the upcoming series. You know, if you're a bowler, go try and get some wicket. If you're a batsman, go try and make some runs. So, you know, but I would love for them to beat Bangladesh, you know, we need to be winning to get back on top of world cricket. And Bangladesh, I think, is the easiest chance, one of the weakest test team in the world. So this is a great opportunity to bounce back. But at the same time, it's going to be tough in Bangladesh. So, and again, I'm a little bit concerned with John Campbell's strike rate in those warm-up games.
Oh.
You know, 60 at 70. And is he going to be batting the same in these test matches? Is he going to adjust his batting? Is the test mentality going to affect his, you know, stopping from playing shots? You know, if you follow the couple of warm-up games, his strike rate has been over 60.
Okay.
How many batsmen with 60 at strike rate in a test match? So I would love to see him try and calm down a bit and try and bat for one or two days as the opening batsman. You know, so that's my concern for John Campbell.
Okay. All right. Well, Frankie, thanks very much. Just stay with us. Of course, we opened the lines 4241790. Let us come back to you now, Jason. Dominic Warren has joined us because we also want to know about the whole question of how things are looking. I note with interest that the West Indies, they've got a big, big contract now in terms of that big five-year deal. Lots of money. So you never know, Jason, you may get your full salary back pretty soon. But let's look at cricket in the Caribbean. You've been around for about 8 years now. You've been captain for about five. Can you put your finger on it, Jason, as to why you think that we are performing so poorly? What do we have to do, the expectation from the players and from Cricket West Indies?
Andrew, I guess it's something that we all need to sit down and analyze, man. Mm-hmm. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, you know. A number of people have commented on West Indies cricket over the last 2 decades. And it's not recently West Indies cricket has been struggling. And when I say struggling for consistency, that is.
Yeah, right.
You know, we have had success, but we haven't had success over a period of time. I've had the opportunity to play cricket in Australia. Had the opportunity, and when I say I mean domestic mm-hmm. cricket in Australia, domestic cricket in England, for example. And the systems they have in place, to me, are very, very reliable systems. And we are not to that point yet. And to the credit of Cricket West Indies, you know, I think they've been doing a remarkable job in trying to get the system of West Indies cricket up to that standard. You look at the systems that, for instance, India have now, and they've got a far bigger pool of financial resources than we have in the Caribbean. But they've been able to put serious structures in place. Now, I've been to India a number of times, and I mean, they've got wonderful systems. They've got good. They've got very good facilities as well, too. Academies. They've got a whole host of things where they can really harness and develop the talent. And it's no secret that IPL cricket has really pushed Indian cricket into the direction that it's gone now for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to get there, I think we've got to look to find ways to get similar systems in place. I'm a bit disappointed with the franchise cricket. At present, I just think the franchise cricket needs to the whole outlook and the whole standard cricket in franchise cricket needs to improve. But it can only improve when we get a few more structured programs in place for each and every individual player. Our players need coaching. You know, you look at a lot of our players, we're not there technically. I don't think we're there mentally as well too. And these are things that I think need to be implemented from a very young age. It can't wait till we get onto the international circuit for it to happen. Can't wait till we get to that franchise level to have like sometimes the basics of the game, you know, covered. So I think our development structures need to definitely improve, and we need to put a little bit more emphasis there. I think too many players are being caught at international level because they just don't have that general background or that general basis of the game covered. I've played, again, cricket in England, played county cricket, and the systems they have in place are really, really good in terms of those development structures. Now, people are in counties at a very, very young age, and they come straight through the program. We don't have similar structures here. Likewise, in Australia, and I just went to Australia to play the Big Bash, and I've obviously played international cricket there, and the structures they have are very, very good. Look, it's not an easy fix. It's not an easy fix. Our cricket is at a stage where it needs money. It needs money to help put the systems in place that we need to develop it. And quite frankly, we don't have those financial resources. So it's always a case where you have, for instance, the franchise system, which is when at the inception of it was supposed to be self-sustained by the franchises after the cricket board gave the initial financial capital injection. But obviously, because of how the market is here in the Caribbean, the franchises haven't been able to sustain themselves. And there's always been a burden back on the cricket board. And the cricket board has had to inject all the cash into the franchise system. So it hasn't rolled out, I guess, the way we had envisioned. And it definitely needs a massive tweak. And I've always said it, for our cricket to start to show those signs of improvement, the level underneath has to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So our franchise system, our first-class cricket, our List A cricket, our domestic T20 cricket, our youth tournaments, the whole standard of that outlook of that cricket has to improve. And to me, until we get that cricket headed in the right directions and the systems in place there, to me, is only when you can see consistent performances at the international level.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Well, Jason, I hope that, Andrew, if you don't mind,
sure.
Say makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm a big advocate that we have a director of cricket, James Adams, and I hope that you will convey some of your thoughts in letters to him. Because I think that what you're doing, you're hitting the nail on the head. Our cricket needs to be better at the junior level in order for it to be good at the top. If it's not good at the bottom, we can't get anything at the top, and that's what we're seeing at the moment. So even if we pick reserve players, we're still going to struggle because the systems are not there in relation to developing our players. Mm-hmm. And I do hope that James takes some kind to have some words with you outside of the cricket, just to get your thoughts and feedback on where you think our cricket should be going, because you're a West Indies Test match captain. So you should have an input in how you see our cricket should be going. If the franchise system is supposed to be working and it's not, and you know, you have ideas, I think you should share them before director of cricket. Some way, somehow, it shouldn't take anything off of you, and he shouldn't see it as anything below him. It's just adding, helping him to try to better our cricket as well. And for Wendell, I would like to know, obviously, you said you're in an apartment. Is Barbados the only team there in that apartment?
Hi, fellow. Good evening to you. There are two apartment blocks being utilized for the six national territories. We are sharing with the Windward Islands and Jamaica, and it's a big enough facility, fellow, that all of us are housed, and as I say again, comfortably. There is No close contact. Each person has their own living quarters. So the players that are sharing rooms they're in a two bedroom apartment, almost just like a two bedroom flat. And like I said, it's where most of the medical students or some of the medical students that live here in Antigua, that come to school here in Antigua, that is where they are housed. So the amenities are within the facility itself is very comfortable.
Okay, Wendell, obviously you've been manager for a little while. I know you've been blessed, or you have a new coach, a new head coach, a personal friend of mine, but two former Princess Margaret students. How is that relationship going to be, or how is the relationship going with Dexter Toppin as your new head coach and yourself, and obviously with Corey Cullamore as well, who is the assistant coach?
Well, first of all, it's about people understanding their roles. Wendell Coppin is not the coach. Whether or not I can coach, has the capability of coaching, know anything about coaching, my job is not to coach. So therefore, I don't get involved in anything where coaching is concerned. My job is manager, and Dexter allow me to do the managerial duties, and therefore, he does not get involved in managerial duties. And as a result of that, our relationship, Jason Holder is captain, and he deals with the players on field, and he doesn't get involved in coaching, neither does he get involved in managerial duties. So the fact of the matter is, the entire team is working exceedingly well. We all know our role. Jason manages the cricket on the field. Dexter manages the coaching and support Jason on the field. And I manage the overall apparatus in terms of making sure that everything is healthy.
Okay, just...
And Dr. King is healthy.
Who's this?
We are all healthy.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful indeed. All right, 441-790, you can give us a call and participate in the program. It's good to have my very good friend, Philo Wallace, snuggled away there in England. We got Franklin Rose, who looks very comfortable in that big, big house in Red Hills there in Jamaica. I understand he also has a house in Clarendon. And, of course, we've got Wendell Coppin, who is in an apartment there. There in Antigua. I thought he might have been at the St. James Beach Hotel there, but of course he'll get there eventually. And of course, Jason Holder, who is in that apartment as well. We got a call. Then when we come back, of course, we're going to talk, of course, to Dominic Warren. Can we take the first call? Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.